You're listening to the Homegrown Faith Podcast. I'm Jo Clark, and I'm chatting with my fellow pastor and friend, Richard Sweatman, about God, the Bible, and life lived growing our faith in Jesus. This podcast is coming to you from Hunter Bible Church in Newcastle.
Hey there, Jo. Great to be chatting with you again. How are you going?
Yes, I am well, thank you, Richard. How are you?
Good. I didn't use your full name this time. I didn't... Do we have sayings? Yeah, maybe we do. I don't
know. Maybe we do.
It's never been deliberate, but yeah.
We just talk. What have you been up to lately,
this mate? Morning? Well, look, I've done something new. I went and saw some live music on the weekend.
Oh.
And
nice.
This is a very new thing for me. I must have been in a good place sort of mentally and emotionally because I thought, yes, I'm up for this. And we're not talking, Joe, here about going to a civilized sort of concert at a venue. This is actually going to a pub to watch like a gig, an artist in.
You
in
went a to a gig.
It was pretty weird. I had to talk to several young people to explain how it works. But the artist or the producer, I think it might be called, there's a guy called it's called Just a Gent. I think his true name is Jacob Zachary Grant, according to the internet. Mm-hmm. But his thing, Just a Gent, is kind of electronic music. You and I have talked about my EDM interest in the
EDM,
past.
Yep.
He's on my playlists. I quite enjoy his music. And it came up on Facebook that he was in town at a pub. The ticket price was like $20-something. It wasn't, like going to see Elton John or anything. And I was free. This is doable. And I thought, could I actually do this? And so, yes, I went along, and nice. Actually, it was a really good time.
Okay,
there was a band room there with kind of like stools and a dark sort of section of it, so I could just sit there by myself or stand there and not be weird. That was good.
Yeah.
There was the music was great. I should say about the music. So there was like he stands up there on a bench with something called a DJ mixer. We're starting and stopping tracks, and there's lights sort of flashing around, and he'll do stuff like, pump his fists and call out to the crowd and dance around. So there's energy at an atmosphere there.
Nice.
And overall great. Yeah, I would do it again. So that's
wow. My okay. So I've got several questions.
I'm sure.
Firstly, did you wear your regular clothing or did you have a special I'm going to a gig outfit?
Well, I Googled what do you wear to dance music thing. So I didn't go the tank top or the
nice.
The face jewelry. I think that's the face yeah. painting sort of sparkles. So I just went in the most basic hoodie and jeans I could find. I think that's acceptable for guys.
Yep. Nice, nice. Okay, next. Did you feel like a dad when you were there?
I did feel a bit old. it wasn't too in the darkness. Maybe it's not too obvious.
Yeah.
One of the funniest things happened was the guy came up and was drinking beer and chatted to me and offered to share his vape with me. So that's a first.
That's a first. Okay. Final question. Did you go and talk to him? The gent guy.
Oh, no, he was inaccessible. I mean, no, maybe if I'd made a big effort, but that, most I did was walk a bit closer to the dancing and sort of just, nod my head in time with the music,
Yeah. So, I love that you went, mate. That sounds like, bold and fun.
Well, you and me, Joe, now and again, we'll do something outside of our comfort zone, something new. And so this was definitely in this category.
Mm.
And, I can recommend, you and me now and again doing something new. Yeah.
Well, I have nothing new to offer. So I'm going to share with you a conundrum I have, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I renovated. And as everyone who's ever got a house, I think, has experienced, there's the finishing touches.
Mm-hmm.
And my question I have for the world is, when are the finishing touches finished? Is do you just move from finishing touches to never finish touches, and then they become never finish annoyances, and then you do them because you're about to sell the house, or you decide, no, I'm just going to sell the house as is, someone else can finish the touches, and then the touches never get finished? So here's an example. The electrician was installing a data point and he bumped the plaster and there was a notch in the plaster.
So I
was like, right, finishing touch, here we go. I'll fix the plaster. So that took a bit of time, had to sand it back, do a second coat. So I fixed the plaster and then it sat and painted. And then I was like, wait, finishing touches. So I went around and painted a few little bits of things that were left over. But what do you know? It needed more finishing because it needed a second coat. So then the touching needed finishing. So then I went around and I painted the finishing touch, right? But then I look across and there's a scratch in the wall, which is a divot. Do I fill it with plaster or just leave it? Because now my finished touch is no longer finished because the wall has now been blemished again. And I was like, I'm giving up. I'm just stopping. Anyway, thoughts on the finishing touches?
I do have some thoughts there. So, you're in the finishing touches. What will happen soon is other things will start to break. And so you would, there'll be
this. The dark view, mate.
Other jobs will come up on your to-do list. A light bulb will go, there'll be
a door handle will break off or something.
A door handle will break off. Something will get crooked. You'll explore a leak somewhere. And so I think the guidance, in my opinion, here is anything that's going to sort of degrade the value of the house, like, you notice that, termites, water in bad places, things crumbling away. So that becomes urgent. The other things is just, your emotions will decide how this goes. So if the distress at the item, at the thing is large enough, you will find
a way of getting it done.
You'll say, no, I can't come out for a picnic and hang out.
And watch EDM.
That's right. I do need to patch some plaster. But if you really don't care, that plaster will sit unpatched for 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
Maybe until long service leave, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're in COVID lockdown round two or so. Otherwise, it won't happen. And you just need to be at peace with that.
Yeah.
You go, oh, well, that's a stain on the wall. Nah,
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where you'll find yourself.
I think you're speaking a word of truth.
I don't know. It doesn't sound like that's the answer you wanted.
No, I wanted and it will one day be finished and you will feel a sense of satisfaction. But anyway, shall we move on to the real world of truth?
Yes.
How about that transition? Exodus 4 is what I've been reading. Oh. And I have found a passage that I just find, it just points me straight to the New Testament, which I really love.
Wonderful.
So the Lord is interacting with Moses. He's getting Moses ready to go be his servant. And in verse 8, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and I'll teach you what to say." And, the past speech pathologist in me loves a few verses like this. Yes. And so I nearly got distracted by the Lord takes speech away and he gives it, etc. And he's given us mouths and whatnot. But I think the thing that really woke my mind up was seeing how the Lord is going to use someone who is arguably not eloquent. He knows it even himself. And he says, "I will help you to speak and I'll teach you what to say." And it just made me think of Jesus sending out the disciples in Matthew 10. And he says, you're going to be brought before governors and whatnot. And don't worry about what you'll speak. I'll give you what to say. You'll be given what to say. And I just love that God is in the business of giving his servants the words to speak. And I'm so thankful that his sovereignty extends to guiding us in that way. And anyway, it was a lovely moment as I was reading that passage, just thinking, I'm so thankful God is at work in that way. And I never want to stop praying, God, give me the words, rather than thinking my own words is that I'm somehow independent of God with the words I speak.
No, I think that's a really good verse to passage to know, and that Matthew 10:1. And I think you could look at different places in the New Testament where people are encouraged to speak. Timothy encouraged to keep preaching and teaching, or Paul talking about his sense of weakness.
Or even, it really left, my mind went briefly to, I didn't really spend much time thinking about this, but my mind went to the Spirit and Jesus talking to the disciples in John, and how he says, I'm going to send the Spirit and he's going to teach you and remind you of all things I've said. And I think, so the Spirit functioning in us all the time, always at work in us, is giving us Jesus' words, reminding us of Jesus' words and reminding us of, because the Spirit is what the disciples are told they have. And the disciples are different to us, of course, when they were being sent out. It was a different thing. But, I just think, there's a working of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, I think, in our speech.
Yeah. And, you and I are encouraged by this in our word speaking, teaching ministry.
Definitely.
I think we find ourselves commonly in ministry conversations encouraging people who lack confidence to engage in word ministry.
I agree. That's a clear summary of what I spend a lot of time doing, saying, I think you can speak clearly God's words here. I think you know God's words. I think you're mature. Come on, let's do it. So, and say it to myself, of course. Anyway, so Exodus 4, encouraging stuff to read.
Yeah.
That was good.
That's great, Joe.
What have you been reading?
Well, I've been reading some of the Puritans, interestingly. I was been trying to read stuff on forgiveness and which, you and I talked about a bit for a while. And I think I was finding myself a bit dissatisfied with what I was reading and wanting something a bit more deep and clear and logical. And I thought, this is sometimes where people go to the Puritans. And so I just Googled Puritans on forgiveness and came across a guy called Thomas Manton, who'd written on this. And Thomas Manton was a regular Puritan. He was a living, that's written down, sorry, from 1620 to 1677.
Mm-hmm.
He was a clerk to the Westminster Assembly and a chaplain to Oliver Cromwell. So in the general sphere of things there. And he's written a lot of stuff, and he's written an exposition on the Lord's Prayer, so that line, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive, or our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. He's written a big chunk on that and used that as a launching pad to write quite a long section about forgiveness. It was a bit funny. The bit I got from I downloaded on Kindle was the easiest way to find it. And I think it must have been the Google computer or robot who tried to scan it, because now and again it's just got no idea what the words are and inserts a little picture on my Kindle or gets it wrong. So there's a memoir. There's a memoir by the Kev William Harris. I think it means Rev William Harris, but it's come through as the Kev. So I think if I get the chance, I would like maybe try and go to the Moore College Library and see if I can find the original, old things and flick through it. But I'm not disappointed. He's very very clear on forgiveness. And having read it through once, I need to read it again. But just as an example, he gives a really nice, concise definition of forgiveness. So I'll just read. He says, "Thirdly, wherein this forgiving of others doth consist." Now, Joe, there's a lot of this kind of language, so you got to be comfortable with the doth and the wherein's and so on.
I'm coming with you, mate.
Certainly, wherein this forgiving of others doth consist: 1, in forbearing others; 2, in acquitting others; and 3, in doing good to them. And I thought, that's quite confident. And he goes on to sort of expand on those three points. That's a typical example of, he has a lot of points, subpoints, and even subpoints of the subpoints. And the formatting hasn't come through very well, so I've got some work to do there. I think quite a very, very biblical. I think there's maybe two illustrations in this whole section. It's big focus on what does the Bible say here. But also, pastoral, sensitive, And I'm looking forward to reading over it again. So there you are, Thomas Manton, an exposition on the Lord's Prayer, part of his Complete Works Volume 1, thanks to the Amazon robots or whoever is behind it all.
So it's acquitting, forbearing, and blessing. Were they the three kind of ideas?
Forbearing first.
Forbearing. Okay.
And that means, I think, exacting judgment, not taking revenge.
Yes.
Acquitting is a more an internal thing of, wishing them well, forgiving them, letting it go, and in doing good to them is more on the positive. So I think that this could potentially be a very helpful sort of three-part breakup.
Mm. It's interesting because I guess some definitions or explanations of forgiveness I've heard often go into the must one reconcile, etc. As part of forgiveness, and it's such a big conversation we don't have time for now. But as I hear those three things, each of them are very challenging when a serious wrong has been committed.
Yeah.
And my mind kind of wants to go to, oh, but I don't have to forgive if this is the case or this is the case. Mm-hmm. But this is where forgiveness, being like Jesus, is like being like our God the Father, I should say, is challenging.
Yes. Yeah. No, he does dip into some of those topics as well. So, yeah.
Well, sounds like fruitful reading.
I'm thinking so. Yeah, I have to concentrate as I read it, but fruitful reading. I'll see what the insights come from it.
Oh, good on you, brother.
But Joe, it has been great chatting with about live music gigs, about finishing touches, Exodus 4, and Thomas Manton's work. So
It's been good to talk. And if people are enjoying the podcast, why not share it? We would be encouraged to know that more people are being, engaged in God's word, thinking about reading the Bible for themselves or reading books and talking about it with the other Christians or even sharing that with people who don't know Jesus. So why not share the podcast? We would appreciate that.
Indeed.
But anyway, we better go.
Yes. Have a great week, Joe. I'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. See you, mate.
Bye.